Would you please stand as you're able for the reading of the gospel? It is a familiar one, the parable of the sower. I think most of you are familiar with that, and it comes from Matthew 13, verses 1 through 13. And you can follow along on your ESV app, or you can follow along on the screen as we share together. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And the purpose of these parables, then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeking they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I was once watching a special about a psychiatrist that became a political newspaper columnist. And he was telling a story about his time in medical school, preparing to become a psychiatric physician. And the requirement was that they attend group therapy sessions, and he refused to go. And he refused to go over and over and over again, to the point where eventually his advisor called him into his office and said, if you don't go to these group therapy sessions, you will not graduate from medical school. He looked at his advisor and said, sir, I am here to give therapy, not to receive therapy. His advisor sat back in his chair, said, son, it sounds like you have a strong case of denial. And he looked at his advisor and said, of course I have a strong case of denial. Denial is the most powerful of all human defense mechanisms. Today, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the teacher, whose preferred method of teaching is designed to bypass our defense mechanisms and slip underneath the radar of our denial, to push us to consider at length the radical implications of the truth of the gospel. That is the good news about Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. If you read all of Matthew chapter 13, you'll read seven or eight parables, depending on how you divide it up. This is, in the Gospel of Matthew, a day filled with parables. And that is Jesus' preferred method of teaching. Parable literally means to cast alongside or to throw alongside. And what Jesus does is he takes a simple truth from everyday life and then he just casts it alongside the truth of the gospel, steps back and says, while you're looking at this simple truth from everyday life, it just happens to be right next to this deeper truth of the gospel. Maybe we could look at that too. He casts the simple truth right next to the deeper truth, steps back. Why don't we just look at them both together, Jesus might say. You say, why would Jesus teach like this? Well, Stan just read it for us. It's in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 13. For this is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In other words, they're in denial. They have all their defense mechanisms that pop up when someone delivers the truth to them. So I teach them in a way that slips underneath the denial, that bypasses the defense mechanisms. A scholar named C.H. Dodd did a tremendous project researching all about biblical parables. And this, after all of his research, is how he boils it down. What is a parable? He writes this, at its simplest, and this is not a simple definition, but he says, at its simplest, I think we have a slide for this, at its simplest, the parable is a metaphor or simile drawn from nature or common life, arresting its hearer by its vividness or strangeness and leaving the mind in sufficient doubt to its precise application to tease the mind into active thought. And I just realized I think I forgot to give that text to them. So it is a complicated definition. So that is on me, not the sound booth. But it's a metaphor or simile drawn from nature or common life, arresting the hearer by its vividness or strangeness. And then it does this other interesting thing. It leaves the mind in sufficient doubt to its precise application in order to tease the mind into active thought. And so let's allow Jesus, the teacher, this morning to tease our minds into active thought as we look at the simple truth from everyday life right next to the deeper truth of the gospel. The parable of the sower is simple enough. It's a farmer with a great bag of seed, and he walks around, he just casts the seed every which way. And the seed falls in different places. Some of the seed falls on a path. Some of the seed falls on rocky soil. Some of the seed falls among thorns. And other seed falls among good soil. And each seed that falls in these different locations, it all has a different outcome. The path is too hard for the seed to germinate. The rocky soil is so shallow. It doesn't have roots. The thorns, it gets choked out. But finally, there's good soil, and you get this tremendous harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times what the sower spent in the process of sowing the seed. He gets 100 times his return on the investment. And the simple truth from everyday life is fairly obvious that Jesus is communicating here. The state of the soil determines the fruitfulness of the harvest. Simple enough. But remember what parable means. It means to cast alongside. He has cast this simple truth from everyday life that the state of the soil determines the fruitfulness of the harvest. He's placing that right next to a deeper truth from the gospel. And then he cries out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let Jesus tease your mind into active thought regarding what more does this mean? Jesus gives the explanation of the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, a little later in the chapter. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. Excuse me, it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. You see, if the state of the soil determines the fruitfulness of the harvest, the state of the heart determines the fruitfulness of a life. This is the deeper truth Jesus wanted us to ponder when he told the parable of the sower and laid it right down beside this truth. The state of the heart determines the fruitfulness of a life. And so the question I believe Jesus wants us all to ask and answer this morning is this: what is the state of your heart? If the state of the soil determines the fruitfulness of a harvest and the state of the heart determines the fruitfulness of a life, what is the state of your heart? And Jesus lists four types of hearts in the explanation of this parable. He starts with the hard heart, verses 18 and 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. And that clarification when Jesus says in verse 19 there, what was sown in his heart, this is the clarification that the soils represent the state of people's hearts. And this first soil, there's a hard heart. The seed on the path never makes it into the soil due to the hardness of the soil. This leaves the seed exposed to the schemes of the evil one. The evil one comes and snatches it right off the path. You say, what kind of schemes does the evil one use in order to snatch the word out of the hearts of people with hard hearts? The devil has all kinds of ways he goes about his business, but two that I believe the Bible speaks most clearly about are lies and accusations. Lies and accusations. Jesus himself says this about the devil in John chapter 8, verse 44. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Another translation says, when he lies, he's speaking his native language. Lies like, well, Jesus was just a good moral teacher, you see. People use this all the time. People believe this lie all the time as a defense mechanism against the true claims that Jesus makes. Jesus doesn't say, I have come to tell you about the truth. I'm a good teacher. I can just tell you all about the truth. No, he says, I am the truth. Jesus doesn't say, I've come to show you how to live a good life. He says, I am life itself. I've come with living water. Of all of the things that people believe about Jesus, good moral teacher, is not an option he left open to us. Look at the way he tells these parables. He's not even direct in giving people the truth. He keeps taking the truth and throwing it right next to the deeper truth. What kind of good moral teacher does that? People believe lies like, I'm perfectly capable of creating my own meaning in life. Or another lie that's quite popular these days, well, my truth doesn't need to be your truth, when truth by definition is exclusive. The word Satan, another word in the Bible used to describe the evil one or the devil, literally means accuser. And this is another way that Satan snatches the word out of hard hearts. He makes accusations, lobs accusations at people, saying things to them like, you've gone too far for God to come after you. You just stay isolated and away. You're too far gone for God to come after you. Or you've made too many mistakes. You're not lovable anymore. Or an accusation like your life has no value. Or God can't use or doesn't want to use depressed people like you, angry people like you, wounded people like you, incompetent people like you. Lies, accusations. Matthew 13, 19 says, the hard heart is the one that hears the word but does not understand it. The Greek word translated understand in this verse is a cognate for our English word synthesis. Cognate just means it sounds like, and you can see the transliteration of the Greek word there. It sounds like our word for synthesis. Synthesis is about making connections between ideas. And here's the truth about the hard heart. The hard heart refuses to connect the gospel with their life. The next type of heart that Jesus tells us about is the shallow heart. The shallow heart, Jesus explains in verses 20 and 21, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. The seed sown among the rocks looks promising. There is quick growth. From the surface, everything looks fine. But the problem lies beneath the surface. The soil is too shallow to hold enough moisture to withstand the heat of the summer. The shallow heart may have sampled an emotional experience of Jesus. They desire the exciting new life Jesus will deliver for them. They're looking for a blesser, not a savior. But notice Jesus doesn't say, if tribulation comes. He says, when tribulation comes. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Jesus the healer. We fixed our eyes on Jesus the healer and the strange ways Jesus goes about his healing ministry. He received a message in John chapter 11. He whom you love is ill. Yet he stayed 2 days longer where he was. He intentionally deepens the trial the family is enduring. He deepens the trial the sick man is enduring. He's testing their soil. He's testing their hearts. Maybe he's testing your soil right now. How deeply has the word of God germinated in your heart? Or has the heat of this moment left you dry and brittle? Next, Jesus outlines the divided heart. He tells us about the divided heart in verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. The seed sown among thorns grows, but due to competition for nutrients, it proves unfruitful. The divided heart belongs to the person who hears the word, but never gives the word their full attention. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches are constantly diverting their attention from Jesus' kingdom to a kingdom of their own making. Jesus said this in Matthew 6, 24, to drive this point home. No one can serve two masters. For he either will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You say, well, it's not money for me. I don't get distracted by that. Well, Jesus listed something else that divides our heart. He called it the cares of this world. The cares of this world covers a lot of territory. And I think this is what our annual focus, Fix Our Eyes, is really all about. We've been asking this question, in the midst of all that vies for your eyes, what do you fix your eyes on most? If you answer that question, what do I fix my eyes on most? It will reveal where the divisions in your heart lie. Lastly, Jesus tells us about the listening heart in verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The seed that was sown on good soil produces an astounding harvest. 10-fold was considered a good year for a farmer. And if you didn't grow up in an agricultural community, I did not grow up in an agricultural community, a fold is the return on investment. It's the amount of money the farmer has to spend on equipment, on seed, all of those things to do the sowing. 10-fold would be I return 10 times my investment that I put into the process of sowing. 100-fold would be miraculous. There's actually a story in Genesis chapter 26 about Isaac receiving 100-fold of a crop in terms of a famine, and the only way it was in the time of the famine, and the only way it was possible, everyone said this was a miracle from God. 60-fold would be a bumper crop, and 30-fold, even the smallest harvest from the good soil, is three times what any farmer would typically hope for. This tremendous outcome corresponds to a heart that listens. We think the tremendous outcome must come from some type of super fertilizer, some type of incredible spiritual growth plan. But Jesus is very clear. This outcome, this tremendous fruit that's produced in this harvest, comes from a heart that listens. Look at verse 23 again. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word. That word hear is repeated throughout the passage. It's in verse 9, verse 13, verse 18, verse 23. And as Luke records Jesus telling this parable in another setting, Jesus says in Luke chapter 8, verse 8, it says, as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And that verb said, as he said these things, is in the Greek, in the perfect tense, which refers to continuous action, which is why it's translated, as he said these things. It's almost as if as Jesus described each type of soil, he said out loud, this is what I imagine, he said out loud, remember, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I'm delivering a simple truth from everyday life, but remember, it's right next to the deeper truth of the gospel. Jesus constantly is calling out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The word hear in Matthew's language of Greek has the same root as the Greek word for acoustics. The listening heart has the word of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, the good news about Jesus ringing in their ears, reverberating in their mind, resounding in their soul. The state of the soil determines the fruitfulness of a harvest. Let the truth of Jesus' parable come alongside the deeper truth. The state of the heart determines the fruitfulness of a life. So what is the state of your heart this morning? Is your heart hard? Is your heart shallow? Is your heart divided? Or is your heart truly listening for that gentle and soft word of the gospel from Jesus? There was a time in my life 8 years ago where I unexpectedly found myself in an incredibly difficult and trying situation. I found myself as the interim lead pastor at the Williamsburg Community Chapel, something I never thought would happen, something that was not on my list of things to do in my life. I found myself in that position. I was scared. I was frustrated. I even had a little anger inside me. I was leading a congregation that also was scared, frustrated, and there was also a lot of anger during that time. And so I did what I often do when I find myself in a difficult situation. I called my dad. I said, "Dad, I've got to have lunch with you this week." My dad just retired from over 35 years of faithful pastoral ministry. He knows a lot about life. And so I went to him. We sat down, we ate. Two Italian guys love to eat together. And I told him everything that was going on in how painful it was for me, how difficult it was for me, how frustrated I was, and even how angry I was. I said, "Dad, what do you think? What should I do? I need some wisdom." He sat back in his chair, and I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, "Ah, I wondered when something like this would happen to you." He didn't say, "I can't believe this trial has come upon you. You should run as far and as fast as you can." He didn't say, "Well, God must have dropped the ball on this one, Travis. You really should be angry and upset and frustrated." He just said, "I wondered when something like this would happen to you." That's good advice for any parent or grandparent. When a young person comes to you with a trial, tribulation, sit back and say, "I wondered when something like this would happen." Because I needed to realize in that moment that I had a shallow heart. I had been living a Christian life thinking, if the tribulation comes, if the trial comes, not when the trial comes. I had a shallow heart, and in that moment, I needed to plunge my roots deeper into the truth of God's word. Maybe you have a hard heart this morning. What lies or accusations of the evil one are you entertaining? Maybe you have a divided heart this morning. Are you giving back sacrificially to the God who has given everything for you, releasing your resources so they don't become idols in our lives? What is the state of your heart? Remember, the good soil is characterized by listening. And so here is an application I want to challenge us all to do this week. Go find someone you trust and ask them sincerely with a listening heart, "Do you have any concerns about the state of my heart? Do you think my heart is hard, shallow, or divided?" Go to them. Say, "I'm really ready to listen. Is my heart hard, shallow, or divided? When don't I exhibit a listening heart?" About 10 days ago, Nina and I lost a really good family friend. A friend we grew up with, a friend whose parents and siblings were very close with Nina's family growing up. And we had to attend his funeral yesterday. He was only 35 years old. And there were some tremendous tributes about his life. And the one that will stick with me, his name was Chase Pittman. And the one that will stick with me is someone, one of his friends said, "You know, Chase would give hugs that could break ribs." And I went, "That is so true." That's, I loved that about Chase and his brother, Matt. They would wrap you up in their arms and they would give you a hug and you felt safe, you felt loved, but you also felt like you were in danger because your sternum was getting pressed in. And they joke that one time Chase actually did crack someone's ribs as he gave them a hug, and we laughed about it afterwards. I heard that story 5 times yesterday as we celebrated Chase's life. And then Matt, his brother, came up to me and gave me one of those hugs, and I thought my ribs might just crack. What an illustration, I think, for what Jesus is asking us all to do. Go to one of your friends and say, give me a hug that could crack my ribs. I need to feel safe. I need to feel loved. I need to feel cared for, but put a little pressure on me. Is my heart hard, shallow, or divided? One of the key features of all parables is the element of surprise. There is usually something in the story that surprises the hearer, or in our case, the reader, in order to jumpstart their brain. Remember, C.H. Dodd's definition of parables: they are to tease our mind into active thought. And the surprise of this parable is there's no plowing. There's no tilling of the soil. See, farmers in first century Galilee would sow seed first, then plow it into the soil. But in the parable, we only see the sowing of the seed, which I believe points in this direction. Jesus stands ready to till the soil of our hearts. If the state of the soil determines the fruitfulness of a harvest, and the state of the heart determines the fruitfulness of a life, then in addition to asking someone you trust about the state of your heart, let's get real quiet this week before Jesus. And when your heart and mind are quiet enough, ask Jesus about the state of your heart. And then listen. Have a listening heart. And invite Jesus into the depths of your life and ask him to till the soil of your heart, to pull up the rocks, to cut back on the weeds, to break through the path. Jesus's brother James wrote this about the word of Jesus. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. All of the defense mechanisms that you throw up, all of the ways we attempt to avoid the truth through anger or denial, whatever it might be, it will not produce the righteousness of God. Instead, James says, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The state of the heart determines the fruitfulness of the life. So let us receive with meekness the implanted word and ask Jesus to turn our hard, shallow, or divided hearts into listening.